Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Now, now, people, because together we will stand, every boy, every girl, and a man. Oh, come on.
About a year ago, an ambitious community project was launched in central Wisconsin called Toward One Wausau, designed to bring the city together and bridge its cultural and ethnic divide through outreach and dialogue. Today, we've got a report card for the project and a look at where the participants go from here. I'm Glenn Moberg, and we've got a lot of guests today. In our first segment, you'll be hearing from Eric Giordano, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Mark Trinan, News Director of the Wausau Daily Herald, and Macy Yang Herr, Associate Professor of Education at UW-Stevens Point. Later in the show, we'll hear from three other participants, Christine Munson, Advising Diversity and Success Specialist at North Central Technical College, Chris Norfleet, founder of People for the Power of Love, and Tony Gonzalez, Executive Director of EAG Interpreters. We'll also hear from three Central Wisconsin mayors, Bob Milkey of Wausau, Mike Wiese of Stevens Point, and Zach Ruink of Wisconsin Rapids, each weighing in on the challenges and opportunities posed by our region's growing diversity. And we'd like to hear from you. How do you view the growing diversity in central Wisconsin? What are the challenges that need to be overcome? And what are our own success stories? You can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our website, wpr.org/route51, and I'll read it live on the air. Eric Giordano, let's start with you. What was the impetus for Toward One Wausau? What made you and the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service want to go forward with this year-long effort of community outreach?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Glenn. Thanks. First of all, our mission is to bring together the resources of the university and community to address community-identified needs. And as we went around and talked with community leaders about what are some issues that you could use some help with. What can we do to offer assistance? There were many projects outlined, but the one thing that almost every community leader highlighted and also suggested they had very little resources to address was this growing perception of racial, ethnic, and cultural tensions that you mentioned earlier.
Explain the process. How did you go about the community dialogue process? And I know you also had people take surveys.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we were absolutely not alone. We immediately reached out to Wisconsin Public Radio, the Wausau Daily Herald, the police department, the Wausau Police Department, the Sheriff's Office, many other different groups, People for the Power of Love, et cetera. And there was a widespread desire to move forward. So I just want to highlight that this, you know, quickly became a very large-scale event. We decided to adopt a well-used deliberative inquiry process, which starts out with sort of listening, a community listening, so holding meetings to listen to what people are thinking, a survey, an online survey that was also designed to gather information, another form of listening. And then we use the information that we gathered to name and frame this issue, and we put this frame in an issue guide, and we use that issue guide as the basis for a series of dialogues, and we just completed that dialogue phase last month.
Mark Trinan, the Wausau Daily Herald was one of the sponsors, one of the partners of Toward One Wausau, along with WIPS and Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you think it was a valuable exercise?
Absolutely. And the reason the Wausau Daily Herald and I were involved in this is because we think that it was important that we serve a role of connecting people in the community on common concerns and issues toward the idea of coming up with a common solution. We cover an awful lot of the tensions and the issues, and we were last summer, not this past summer, but the summer before, covering some really tense times in this community. So this was an opportunity for us to help talk through the things that were coming out of that and find a way forward for the community.
What did you take away from it personally?
I took a lot away from it personally. I was exposed to a lot of different ways of looking at Wausau that I had not been exposed to previously. There are people in this community who at times don't feel welcome here and don't feel safe here. And I think there are a lot of people in the community who are not exposed to that that experience. So personally, I learned a lot about that.
And Macy, as Mark was mentioning, part of the genesis of Toward One Wausau involved a controversial court case in the summer of 2016. A Hmong boy, 15-year-old Dylan Yang, stabbed to death another boy, 13-year-old Isaiah Powell. The case led to a demonstration in downtown Wausau that involved the Hmong community. People came in from all over the country, from as far away as California. And as Mark was saying, it exposed some of the racial and cultural tensions in the community, and it also led to the suspension of Marathon County Board Chairman Brad Carger. It's been about a year and a half. Do you think we've moved past that, or do we still have work to do?
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. I think that there's, while we have come a long way as a community, I think that that incident in particular revealed to us that there's much more work to be done. Have we come a ways since that time, a few years ago? I would say there's some progress in the sense that we're talking. As a community, you know, we're realizing we can't just continue to have these types of discussions in silos, and that we need to come together to see if there are any commonalities in terms of where we should go, how do we come together, make it a more welcoming and inclusive place.
Well, we had another incident on March 22nd of this year where a Hmong man, Neng Mai Vang, ended up in a mass shooting incident. We lost four people, including an Everest Metro police detective. Now, that was something that could have brought out a cultural reaction against the Hmong community. Did you see any of that as somebody who you live in the Wausau area, correct?
Yes, I do.
Even though you're a professor at UW-Stevens
Point. That's correct. Yeah. And my involvement with the Toward One Wausau effort project is more about my concern as a community member here in Wausau and growing up here. So, yes, it could have been that incident with Neng Mai Vang could have been, and in some respects it was, especially in social media. What I was really proud to see, though, was that there were many people who were fighting against that and saying, no, this is not a racial issue. This is a domestic violence issue, which goes beyond just an issue that the Hmong community has to deal with.
And Eric and Mark, did any of the situation that happened on March 22nd and then the earlier situation, did that come up in any of the community dialogues?
It did. As a matter of fact, the Wausau Police Department conducted a sort of community session at North Central Technical College following that incident, and one of the audience members made some comments to that regard. What was heartening about that, from the perspective of someone who's been working on these issues for the past year, is that many members of the audience corrected some assumptions that person was making, and many members from all different walks of life. So,
and maybe 30 or 40 years ago, that wouldn't have happened in this community.
I don't think that long ago.
Not that long ago, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to praise law enforcement and the community, because there could have been, as you just described, a reaction, you know, around racial or ethnic differences and, you know, who was involved in that incident. But instead, the focus was really on community healing and how do we, you know, prevent these types of incidents. And there was really a focus on that, which I think we should be proud of as a community and coming together as a community. You know, I don't know if Toward One Wausau helped in that regard, but I do think it's helped to raise awareness that, you know, we're all together. We're all in this together, and it doesn't matter what our racial, ethnic, cultural, you know, backgrounds are. We have to work together.
Macy, you came here with your parents from Southeast Asia when you were very young. You told me that you're not second generation, you're generation 1.5. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. I was born in Ban Vi Nai, Thailand, and I was only about 3 months old when my parents decided, or when they were given the opportunity to come to the United States. And so I'm the eldest of six children and the only one who was born overseas and brought over.
And you must have some memories of your childhood growing up in Wausau. There were a lot of tensions back then. Do you have any specific memory or memories that you can share with us about some of the situations you and your family faced as new immigrants to this community?
Sure. I can certainly do that. And I think, you know, some of those memories had to do with race, but it also intersected with social class, you know, and socioeconomic status. You know, we didn't have a whole lot living in this community. So a lot of it had to do with, well, they're Hmong and perhaps, you know, they don't have a whole lot. They rely a great deal on the government for assistance. And even when that wasn't the case, you know, that was often the assumption. So, you know, I can think of several examples.
Just share one with us.
Sure. I remember being over at a friend's house for a birthday and not wanting to stand out, you know, because all of my other friends were white. And the friend whose house I went to was also white. And while they, I think they were very well intentioned, but the parent just said, you know, I think this is the first time I've ever had a Hmong person here in my house. I've never had anyone like that before. And I think that may seem quite innocent, but to a child, especially at that age when all you wanted to do was blend in, that was really difficult.
And it must have been a struggle for your parents. I assume that they spoke limited English, mm-hmm. if they spoke English at all. They had a completely different culture, a different way of writing. And, you know, it must have been a struggle for them. And yet you were able to get a doctorate and become a professor at UW Stevens Point. They must be very proud of you.
I would say they are. Yes, they are. You know, they may not have known a lot about the details of what it meant to go through school, but what they did know was that education was highly important.
Why did you feel a need to get involved in Toward One Wausau?
You know, you talked a little bit about it before. A lot of it had to do with my own personal experiences and feeling as though, you know, there weren't really many role model. I mean, many people, teachers growing up who really understood my experiences and could provide me the help that I needed. And so I felt the need to give what I could based on what I have learned over the years.
And do you feel this past year of community dialogues and community outreach, has it made a difference?
I think so. I think some people may say differently, but I think so. And I think especially in that as I am a part of other committees and boards, there seems to be more intention in terms of, you know, who's on our board, who's on our committees. We need to make sure that we are more representative of this community. And not just to have someone, a person of color, for instance, on a committee or board, most certainly someone who's qualified, but there seems to be more intention overall.
And Eric, on October 20th at North Central Technical College, there's going to be a community celebration in which you'll unveil some of the findings we'll be talking about today. Tell us about that event.
Right. Well, it's exactly as you described it. It's partly a celebration, but also it's, you know, of a year of coming together as a community around a very difficult subject. But it's also a reveal of the results of the dialogues that we've held. And, you know, we took copious notes during those conversations, as well as provided the public with a survey, at least those who attended the dialogues. And so we're going to share what we learned, the sort of key themes and takeaways, including, this is important, action items that the public has recommended that we take as a community.
What do people have to do if they want to attend this event?
They just need to show up at 6 p.m. on October 20th at NTC, and they're welcome. There's free food, entertainment, and we're really going to have a nice event.
Mark, what were some of the big takeaways from this past year of community dialogues?
Yeah, Macy and Eric covered some of them already. I think one of the takeaways for me and for us is that when people do sit down and listen on a person-to-person basis to each other and their experiences and perspectives, they learn a lot, and it blows some assumptions out of the water, some assumptions and conclusions that are really easy to make and reach when you're not exposed to a person on in that way, and you learn so much.
Wausau, of course, isn't the only community that's grappling with diversity issues. All of the cities and villages in central Wisconsin are becoming more ethnically and culturally diverse. So we asked three central Wisconsin mayors for their perspectives: Zach Frewink of Wisconsin Rapids, Mike Wiese of Stevens Point, and Bob Milkey of Wausau, who said he and other Wausau city leaders have embraced this project Toward One Wausau.
One, it's a very interesting and good group of folks. I've attended numerous meetings with them. I've been very available. We had a talk about race and hate speech here at the YWCA a few weeks ago. And that was in regards for freedom of speech. And I can understand where folks are coming from, where they get upset when they hear different people and the hatefulness that's out there. Trust me, I know exactly what they're talking about in some ways. But I have tried to interject and have a city presence, if you want to call it there. The city does care, and the city will be involved with them as far as different initiatives and things moving forward from here.
Yeah, I think inclusive practices are becoming more of the norm. You know, I think in the Midwest we're very humble and generally very accepting, and I think we've struggled with that. As you said, the kind of the all-white, blue-collar manufacturing community that is Wisconsin Rapids. And so I think, you know, in our programming we're working to make inclusive statements that not only are we making statements but taking action. And I think a lot of our organizations in the city have become much more open to working with a diverse population, especially because we've had to recruit a lot of talent to the community for various employment opportunities because the talent hasn't existed here. So that has brought about a whole new wave of non-residents, I would call them, to the city, which is a great opportunity to engage when you talk about the art scene, some of the theater folks and the like.
It is in righteous human behavior to accept that diversity. We have, as a city, taken a stance on acts of hate, bullying. I just don't understand why this still goes on in the 21st century. We are all our community. Without one group, we lose a little something of that. And the fact that it still goes on, I just want to make a stand, and I know I speak for the city council, where we will not tolerate that. We will pursue that with vigor. And the university has been a forefront leader in putting programming together to educate the students and the community in general in regards to what is still going on. We don't turn a blind eye to this. We face it head on, and we make our thoughts known.
That's Mike Wiese, the mayor of Stevens Point. Before that, Zach Vruink, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, and Bob Mielke, the mayor of Wausau. Macy, you're a professor at UW-Stevens Point. Mike was saying that even with the progressive influence of a major university in that community, they've still got problems with bullying, problems with the acceptance of diversity.
Absolutely. And, you know, just one effort or just one announcement that, you know, denounces hate or any sort of discrimination isn't going to do it. It has to be ongoing. And from various fronts, it needs to come from.
Now, after the election last November, we had some reported incidents of people driving trucks with Confederate flags, harassing Black and Latino students. And there was also a racist graffiti in a dorm room, which is something you don't normally associate with that particular school.
Yes, there was some of that. And since then, the university has taken some strides to try to prevent that, or at least to deter that sort of behavior.
Zach Vruink said as Wisconsin Rapids tries to attract new talent, it's attracting a younger and more diverse population. Mark, is this a trend that we're seeing across central Wisconsin?
Absolutely. And I think this is a point that may resonate with people who otherwise don't feel a connection to this topic, in general, younger people want a community that's more inclusive and more diverse and that welcomes diversity.
Eric, your takeaway from what you heard the mayors just say.
Well, I'll speak about our local mayor. Bob has certainly been supportive of this project. We appreciate that. And he has experienced it. He mentioned it, but he didn't go into detail. Some hate speech of his own. It was a very personal political attacks that have been made upon him. So, you know, there's someone who's actually, you know, even as a white male has experienced those things. So he gets it. I would like to see more of our community leaders participate. You know, there's been some lip service and then there's been some maybe careful distance that's been created with some of our leaders. And I think it's not that they are racist or opposed to this message, but I think sometimes there's a view that all is well. And if we've learned anything from this project, it's that there really is a difference of viewpoint depending on your experiences. And for many people, all is not well. It doesn't mean that they don't like the community. The community is a very welcoming community according to most people, but we have some work to do. And some of our leaders can really help out if they can acknowledge and respect that there are these differences of viewpoints.
J. Today on Route 51, we're revisiting the Central Wisconsin Community Project Toward One Wausau with Eric Giordano of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Mark Trinan of the Wausau Daily Herald, and Macy Yang Her of UW Stevens Point. We're going to say goodbye to them for now, and when we come back, we'll be talking with three other participants of Toward One Wausau: Christine Munson of North Central Technical College, Chris Norfleet of People for the Power of Love, and Tony Gonzalez of EAG Interpreters. I'm Glenn Moberg. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 website, wpr.org/Route 51. We're going to take a short break. Here's Sly and the Family Stone.
Support for WPR comes from Rogers Behavioral Health in Madison, Appleton, and southeastern Wisconsin, providing treatment for issues including depression, addiction, and eating disorders. More at rogersbh.org. Support also comes from the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau, presenting the 2017 Birds in Art exhibition, with all new artwork by 114 artists through November 26th. LYWAM.org.
War taking us into our next segment of Route 51 as we look back on a year of community outreach and dialogue and the Toward One Wausau project. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guest from the first segment will be back with us in a bit, but now let's welcome Chris Munson, Advising Diversity and Success Specialist at North Central Technical College, and Chris Norfleet, founder of the People for the Power of Love. And again, that phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our website, wpr.org/route51. Christine, what challenges have you seen in the community working on diversity issues at North Central Technical College?
My role at North Central Technical College, as you mentioned, involves our Diversity Steering Committee. Within the college itself, we have a great amount of support from administration, from colleagues, from students. I would say some of the challenges are really just meeting people where they're at, mm-hmm. and then determining what are the tools and resources we have at hand, and what do we build and create and offer so that people can, you know, keep addressing some tough issues and maybe some hard conversations that happen in classrooms, equipping people so that they're able to talk through those conversations.
You're Native American. Your people have been the victims of one of the oldest diversity and cultural struggles in America. What perspective does that give you toward this whole issue of diversity?
Mm-hmm. I am Ungwehue. I am Oneida Oneotheaga. We are the people of the Standing Stone. Oneida people themselves, our homelands are in what's now New York State, but anywhere you go in the state of Wisconsin, you are on indigenous lands. And I think that does bring, for myself, a deeper perspective when I think about issues, whether it's immigration or race relations or kind of what's happened in the recent history. I look at it with perhaps a longer lens because of those indigenous roots.
There, you know, you look at the relationship between Native American people and the white population in Wisconsin, and there's so many gradations of it. When going back 20, 30 years ago when we had the demonstrations against walleye spearing up north, to the challenges posed by mining close to Native American ancestral lands, the Pinoki Hills mine, which was opposed by Native American people. And yet you operate these casinos, which are frequented by many by much of the Anglo population. So there's it's a very complex relationship.
Absolutely, it's complex. It's complex on many levels, one being that there's 11 federally recognized tribes in the state of Wisconsin. So with each one, there's unique histories and stories and situations. At the same time, you know, my role and my life experience, I've lived in central Wisconsin my entire life. I am Oneida. The time that I've been on the Oneida Reservation or really close with Oneida people was when I went to college. And when I went to college at UW-Green Bay, one of the reasons I chose that school was because I wanted to be more connected with Oneida. From the experiences I had at college, and you mentioned the mining pieces, you mentioned the Walleye Wars, those are all threads that make up my life experience. And those things aren't going away. So we still have challenges when it comes to understanding American Indian histories, multiple, and the great fabric of stories that we have in Wisconsin. I think that there's a lot we could be doing to expand our knowledge base there. And really looking at it with great reverence and the fact that there's a huge amount of resilience. I myself celebrated, my family celebrated, the city I live in celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day earlier this week. So at NTC.
As opposed to Columbus Day.
Exactly. So for years, I would wear black on Columbus Day to protest the day. This year, I celebrated Indigenousness, and I wore my Oneida ribbon shirt. I wore my moccasins. I walked the halls where I worked, feeling very comfortable and proud doing so.
And you can see the difference between cultures right there. You're wearing black while the people of Chicago are holding a Columbus Day parade. It's a different perspective.
It is.
Is that one of the things that made you want to get involved with Toward One Wausau, the need to bridge some of this cultural divide?
I think I've seen myself, I think we all have gifts, and I think one of the gifts I have is working in as that bridge. And I also deeply care about central Wisconsin. It's where my home is. It's where I'm raising my kids. It's where I'm working. I have students that I care deeply about, and I want to see success, whatever that definition looks like. So if there are pieces that I can bring to help expand or have dialogue or maybe have some difficult conversations, but knowing that it's a safe place to have it, I feel like that's one of my roles. And one of the pieces that Toward One Wausau brought forward was a more systematic and formalized way to help people engage in dialogue, which I feel like is really missing right now in our society.
Chris Norfleet, tell us a little bit about your organization, People for the Power of Love.
We're an organization that pledges to love and to use that as our vehicle to fervently bring people out of this fog of segregation that we clearly have not broken down these walls or barriers. And so our organization is to strip away color, economics, education, and let's get down to the reality that human beings are mistreating and hoarding human beings in the communities of inequity.
You live in Wausau, but you grew up on the south side of Chicago in the Englewood neighborhood. Tell us about that and the difference between those two experiences in your life.
Yeah. I try to tell people one of the things People for the Power of Love would like to do is get some of my fellow white brothers to actually experience and come visit the segregation and the inhumanity that takes place on the south side of Chicago, whether it be the education system, our economic system, our housing, our water, our political system, our incarceration system. These things are all mental health issues, and they don't start at 15 or 20. These are the things that start at birth. And unfortunately, When you live in such a normalized, segregated society, we can have a large number of Caucasians who have no clue what their fellow man is going through miles away. And it's a little bit hard. It's hard for me because I move into these areas and I'm frustrated that people really are unconscious of the fact that segregation is beyond not changed. In fact, I believe it's becoming more of a stronghold in America because it's becoming normal.
They're certainly aware that whole neighborhoods in Chicago are completely black. They're aware of it because they avoid those neighborhoods. And, you know, that's part of the problem. You told me the last time you were here that you never learned to dream. Explain that to me again.
I think one of the things I think we often take for granted, white society takes for granted, is having the ability to feel as if your life is going to account for something. And when I was a young man, I'm not going to cry, but when I was a young man, my mother's greatest and mine growing up was not to be murdered, not to be incarcerated, not to be hungry, not to be homeless. Those were daily accomplishments. And I believe that this stole my ability to dream. When you're dreaming about food, when you're dreaming about warmth, when you're dreaming about not being harmed, you don't have time to dream about being a doctor, lawyer. Those are far and those are few and far in between kids who actually have that ability to overcome those daily struggles to acquire a dream.
Jeannie wrote on our website to say, I'm a longtime Detroit community organizer. In the 1960s, during my time in low-income, multi-ethnic corridors, housing corridor, we lived where we organized, understanding that identifying true community needs would be our guides to speaking to the neighborhood as we work together to meet those essential needs, getting the buy-in and forming a movement. And she says, I'm happy to watch this new approach toward One Wausau, and she's wondering how to help. Chris Norfleet.
Well, I would say this. I would say the first thing I would like to see us do as adult human beings is let's stop with the sugarcoat in our conversations with each other. Let's stop not being straightforward and honest about the difficulties that some communities face. But we can't be verbally abusive. We can't be hateful. I refuse to be violent. If we are going to make this ever work, we have got to bring out a loving consciousness in our society. We can keep harming each other. I can get my pound of flesh by being mean to you, but it's not resolving the cancer called hate and segregation that's keeping us away from love. So be fearless with coming out in your community. Be fearless about addressing subjects. Be fearless with confronting even people who look like you. This isn't a white issue when you come to community. It is a human-to-human issue, and we all have got to be accountable and responsible for our actions.
Chris Munson?
I would echo what Chris is saying, and also, you know, every single one of us has responsibilities because, like I said before, we all have gifts and we all are here right now to hopefully make the world a better place for our kids, for our nieces and nephews, for people who are not even here yet. And part of that responsibility then means sometimes engaging in things that maybe don't feel comfortable and being willing to stretch a bit and put yourself out in some uncomfortable situations and have have those dialogues, get to know people, go places where you'd never gone before, try out some new restaurants. And it seems so basic, but food and culture go hand in hand, and explore those things, talk to people, and come to a space where hopefully you can find those environments where you feel safe enough to ask questions that maybe are tough to ask.
One of the participants of Toward One Wausau, co-chair of the project, is Tony Gonzalez, who as an interpreter helps Hispanics with limited English skills navigate the criminal justice system. Tony can't be here this morning because he is in Madison testifying against the Sanctuary Cities bill that's being debated there, but he did stop by yesterday so we could ask him about his work with Toward One Wausau and his impressions of the past year.
I love Wausau. I really think that Wausau is a great area with an enormous, enormous potential. I believe that I'm surrounded with a vast majority of good people that want to see a community that's prosperous, a community that's safe. Mainly, I feel that because I am a bicultural person, I am both Hispanic as well as I am American. I can speak clear Spanish as well as I can speak clear English. I think I could become that bridge to help both sides of the community, both the local community and the immigrant community, in particular the Hispanic community, to get to understand each other, to put each other in each other's shoes.
What insights did you get from the community dialogues that took place?
You know, many, many different perspectives of different people. It was very nice to hear people open their heart and actually express the feelings that they had and the misconceptions oftentimes. The misconceptions run from both sides. So
Be specific. What are some of those misconceptions?
Well, you know, let's put these misconceptions in terms of stereotypes. I think a lot of people, I would in particular give the example of the Hmong community when they came here 40 years ago. I did not know much about them myself. But now after doing this project with Toward One Wausau, I discovered that when they came here 40 years ago, when they were brought here, the local community was not aware of the culture that they were receiving, and the culture that was coming in was not aware of what the local culture was like, and that caused a lot of problems because they're very different cultures. So that's what I try to do with the Hispanic community now, kind of know what the expectations are and break out those, there's a lot of things that people say, well, you know, Hispanics or immigrants don't pay taxes. Well, that's not true. Hispanics on their side saying, well, all white people hate me. That is absolutely not true. So this is the kind of things, you know, I mean, so many to number right here, Glenn, that
Do minorities, and if you could speak specifically about the Hispanic community, do they trust the police and law enforcement? And you're involved with the criminal justice system.
They are – it is very difficult because – when they're undocumented, even a person with a Boy Scout uniform seems to them like they're law enforcement and they're immigration, they're going to take them away. It is a very big test to take, but I think we've been successful. I think in Abbotsford, they've been very successful, and you can see it with the numbers. The population in Abbotsford is amazing for a place in north central Wisconsin to have the amount of Hispanics. Curtis is over 80% Hispanic. I know because – and I've talked to Chief Bauer right there. He is aware of people that are undocumented, but he also knows the big part that they do with the economy in town and how much they mean to the local economy. So they have established a relationship, and my job is to make it even better. And here in Wausau also to bring the Hispanic community, and I must say that both the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department have been fabulous at trying to build that bridge with the community. It takes a little bit of work. I can only speak for this area in particular, but I think we're breaking that wall a little bit so people can come to law enforcement.
Well, what's your personal takeaway from the past year of community dialogues, the whole Toward One Wausau project?
That we need bipartisan solutions, that we need to all come to the table, and that is the main thing about what Toward One Wausau is about. we don't want to lean to the left. We don't want to lean to the right. We want to be right in the middle to facilitate that dialogue, to get that deliberation done so people can express what their feelings are in a civil manner and talk and understand. And at the end, understand that we got to share the sandbox here and that it's nice if we all play nice and we're all going to get along better.
Do you feel you made progress over the past year?
Absolutely. I think that without question, first of all, the name of Toward One Wausau has circulated. People are aware of it. Even people that may not even agree with it are talking about it. So at least it opens the door to talk about it, about what are we doing, what do we need to do, inviting people to participate and to get involved. We need everybody from all corners to get involved. Anybody that lives in this community needs to come out, be heard, but also need to listen.
That's Tony Gonzalez, an interpreter who helps Hispanics navigate the criminal justice system and a co-chair of Toward One Wausau. Chris Munson, your reaction to what you just heard?
One of the best things of being involved with Toward One Wausau is the additional people that I've met through this networking, people that have attended deliberations, but then also people that are part of this committee, and Tony being one of them. It's courageous work. And I think it's being able to share some really personal stories with people who maybe wouldn't otherwise hear those stories that we get some traction and people can kind of step back and think, it's like, oh, I can kind of see how this would impact another person. I can put myself in their shoes. But without having, again, that space to share stories where people feel safe enough to do that, it's so easy just to kind of keep walking with blinders on. So I appreciate Tony's work.
And Tony Gonzalez says there are fears of law enforcement in the Hispanic community because of the crackdown on undocumented immigrants. Chris Norfleet, are there similar fears in the black community in Wausau? Are black people afraid they'll be targeted, for instance, in traffic stops?
I would have to say yes. I believe, unfortunately, the relationship between African Americans and law enforcement has a very long, unpleasant history that has not been worked out. And I'd like to believe that's what we're trying to do here, is to get people to actually see that no two human beings are alike. But we can all be put in categories if we allow that to be. Not all policemen are bad. Not all black guys are drug dealers. But our problems are that we have not confronted the long history of abuses and the lack of mending those fences. We have to get out our own way and start mending our fences. And unfortunately, I think it might take a little bit longer, but we got to get out of our own head and run away from the fear and run toward change. We're really scared until it's too late, and hopefully Toward One Wausau gives minorities and law enforcement the opportunity to bear a little bit of their soul and to move closer to each other opposed to away.
The subject of Route 51 today, a new community project called Toward One Wausau. Christine Munson of North Central Technical College, Chris Norfleet of People for the Power of Love, and Tony Gonzalez of EAG Interpreters. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back again with Eric Giordano of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Mark Trinan of the Wausau Daily Herald, and Macy Yang Her of UW Stevens Point. But first, here's Soundgarden with their take on an old Beatles song.
Support for WPR comes from Sculpture Milwaukee, turning downtown Wisconsin Avenue into a walkable outdoor urban art gallery. On view now through October 22nd from O'Donnell Park to 6th Street. More at sculpturemilwaukee.com. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Bob Marley and the Wailers taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we talk about Toward One Wausau. With us again, Eric Giordano of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Mark Trinan of the Wausau Daily Herald, and Macy Yang Herr of UW-Stevens Point. Tony Gonzalez said that he thought progress was being made in the relationship between law enforcement and the Hispanic community. He pointed to Abbotsford and Curtis in Clark County, where Hispanics are in some places the majority population, and the police recognize their importance to the local community. Ben Bliven, the Wausau Deputy Police Chief, soon to be Police Chief of Wausau, also participated in Toward One Wausau, Eric Giordano.
Yes, he did. And we were very grateful to have his presence and the presence of law enforcement. Scott Parks was also very much involved. In fact,
Sheriff of Marathon County.
Correct. And one of the main events that we held that maybe a lot of people don't know because it wasn't a public event was what we call a story circle event involving both the Sheriff Department personnel and Wausau Police Department personnel, where they really sat down with diverse community members and shared experiences about, you know, what it was like, you know, growing up in the city, what it's like being a law enforcement officer, feelings about, you know, when we've all experienced feelings of not being respected or being outsiders. And that event was actually a very positive and constructive event, and I praise the law enforcement for being willing to do that.
One of the goals of Toward One Wausau is to keep some undesirable trends that we see happening nationally from manifesting themselves in Wausau. And we do face some serious questions, economic, environmental, national security issues. Instead, we're talking about all of these cultural issues on the national stage. We're talking about protests by black National Football League players and the stereotyping of Mexican immigrants. Do you think we're making enough progress, Macy Herr, locally to try to keep some of those inflamed tensions from happening here?
I certainly think that we have good intentions, and we are making strides, but there's certainly a long ways to go. And I say that because every little effort that is made, we seem to think that it's much larger, a major of an effort than it really is, at least to many individuals who identify as a person of color. I certainly feel there's more to be done.
Mark Trinan, your perspective on the racial tensions, the ethnic tensions that we see playing out in our national political discourse and the importance of Toward One Wausau and some of the things you learned from the past year.
Yeah, well, connecting those two issues, I think one of the things that I've picked up on is that you don't have to agree with the way that a person protests or the way that a person chooses to express himself or herself. But once you talk to a person and you walk a little bit in their shoes, you hear about where they grew up and what they experienced, the number of times in a one-month period that they're pulled over and not even cited because there really wasn't a reason to pull them over. As I heard last night, the number of times that your child is called the N-word in one of the local schools, or you get a card in the mail that tells you that all people of that color should die, you start to see why they take the approaches that they approach, and you understand it a little bit more.
And we are out of time. I want to thank all three of you and, in fact, all six of our guests for being here today.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
And we do want to thank Eric Giordano, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Mark Trinan, News Director of the Wausau Daily Herald, Macy Yang Herr, Associate Professor of Education at UW-Stevens Point, Chris Munson, Advising Diversity and Success Specialist at North Central Technical College, Chris Norfleet, founder of People for the Power of Love, and Tony Gonzalez, the Executive Director of EAG Interpreters. Thanks also to Wausau Mayor Bob Milkey, Stevens Point Mayor Mike Wiese, and Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Zach Brewink for their help with this program. A reminder, the Toward One Wausau Community Celebration takes place Friday, October 20th at North Central Technical College at 6 p.m., and all you've got to do is show up. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by the Arctic Monkeys, Canned Heat, Sly and the Family Stone, Soundgarden, War, Bob Marley and the Wailers, and Jesse Colin Young and the Youngbloods. Next week on Route 51, it's a rebroadcast of our live music show with country music star Jerry Schmidt. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together.